Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Do you want to know the full story behind the Menendez brothers? How about the accused Gilgo Beach serial killer or Candy Montgomery? On our Killer Destinations podcast, we immediately jump right to the story. I'm Kathy.
And I'm Kathy. And just like you, we are obsessed with all things true crime. We're also lifelong friends. And on our Killer Destinations podcast, we tell the best stories and dive deep for all the interesting details.
We also intersperse occasional humor and have a little fun along the way. But we never forget that we're talking about real people and real families.
Listen to Killer Destinations every Tuesday for your true crime fix.
Don't step on your cord. You might pull your head off or something. Why do you look so confused?
I'm trying to find the phone.
You complain about me taking forever.
I don't want to wait for my life to be over.
So since we were gone, Kim, you went to Tennessee.
I did.
How was it?
It was a good time. I was really shocked that I didn't want to kill my mother before we made it home. Emily and I were both kind of worried because we've never really done anything like that except for, you know, especially with my mom, because I never lived with my mom. My grandparents raised me. So I had never really done anything like that with my mom. And Emily had never really done anything like that with my mom. So we were really worried that she would get on our nerves. And we had a blast.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we've then decided that it's probably going to be a yearly thing. As long as mom's health holds out, we'll probably try to go every year.
Good. What was your favorite thing that you did?
Well, we went to Kate's Cove. That's always my favorite thing. Always my favorite thing. However, we did go to the Wax Museum.
I saw that. They almost looked like the celebrities. They were all just
some of them looked really, really good. And then other ones, I'm like, and it looks nothing like them.
Like the pictures I saw on Facebook, I was like, you can tell that's supposed to be that celebrity, but
right.
Some of them I couldn't even tell by looking who they were supposed to be. But yeah, it's okay. But that was a lot of fun just because my mom had such a fun time with it. So it was fun watching her, you know, go up and pose with them. Or she's always been a huge Elvis fan. She's always teased me forever that, you know, Elvis was going to marry her, that he was supposed to have married her when he died. And
she
stuff.
Dodged a bullet.
And yeah, that's right. And so
dodged a few more things too.
When
I'm
she
sure.
seen the Elvis one, oh my God.
She get wet.
They had music playing in the background, you know. So she just goes dancing up to him and she leans up and she acts like she's kissing him and she's just dancing. And Emily took a video and it's just so funny. It's cute. I loved it. We had a great time.
Did she call him daddy?
No, I should have told her. She should have.
There was some celebrity, I forget her name, an older actress, but she was famous for having slept with a whole bunch of other famous celebrities during her heyday, and Elvis was one of them. And she finally, more recently, she's like maybe in her 80s or 90s, was interviewed about it, and what all she had to say of Elvis was, honey, he was an old farm boy who didn't know how to do jack shit. You know, like, you think all that dancing, he'd be good at it, but no, he's a minute brother, and he didn't know
that's
nothing.
Funny. Emily and I, we kept cracking up because we get down there and we see a dispensary, and we're like,
in Tennessee?
Right. We were so all kinds of confused. Why is there a dispensary in Tennessee? We know that it's not legal here.
This,
you know,
is the promised land.
And it had to have been Delta 9 because we looked it up. Well, everywhere we looked, there was a dispensary. And of course, they just jump out at her and I both, you know. And she kept going, Mom, there's another one. Mom, there's another one. My mother thought that we were talking about distilleries.
Oh, there's a bunch of those.
Yeah. Right. So every time Emily would say, Mom, there's another one, my mom would go, yeah, there is another one. She had no idea what we were talking about.
Bless
she
her heart.
Thought we were talking about distilleries, and that's not what we were
in
talking
her
about.
Defense, it was probably more like a situation like Walgreens and CVS, where they just find one and build one next door. So the dispensaries probably just find one of those.
Or close to distance, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just build one next door.
Yeah.
Like the family video.
I think they probably were. They probably were close, but because we were always talking about, there was some kind of a moonshine that my son-in-law, Brady, loved when we went down there last spring, right before their wedding.
Apple pie.
And no, it was called the panty dropper or something. I don't remember. But so we were talking about going and buying him some moonshine because that's all he wanted the whole time we were gone is, don't forget my moonshine, don't forget my moonshine. And so we went to this certain place that they got it from so we could get more. So she was used to hearing us talk about the booze part of it. And yeah, so I'm assuming that's what she thought we were talking about.
I just Googled Tennessee's cannabis laws the other day. I'm like, is it legal there yet? Damn it.
No, it's not. It is not. However, it is in Colorado.
I know it. Don't you know I know it. When we go, I'm going to try to find one of those THC restaurants. That's been on my bucket list for years.
What is that?
It's a very, you know, normal restaurant, but all of the food has,
it's infused
types of THC, usually like oils and stuff. You know, they're not putting like just crumbling up bud flour on there. Some of it they might, I'm sure, but it's, you like, I think it's called Tanif's. It's the type of oil that they, it's just like direct, like straight up THC. But my tolerance has disappeared as of late, the past several years. I used to be an avid, you know, everyday type of person in my 20s, but in my 30s, I'm like, every once in a while for a special occasion, I will partake, but I don't know if I can handle a whole, you know, a whole meal of it, because those tanniffs, I mean, it's like concentrated pure THC.
Right.
I'm like, I might eat somewhere and go there for dessert and then go home and fall asleep, because I mean, if I that's why I like cannabis versus alcohol, because you know, if you get too much of it, you just go to sleep.
Right.
Sleep the best night of sleep you've ever had.
That reminds me, I need to put my 10 back in my, I'd taken that out when I think when
you
I
went
took
to the strip club.
No, when we went to the hospital the other day, when you went to have that stuff done, and I took it. My tin out of my backpack because I'd taken my backpack and I thought, I don't think I want to take this into a hospital.
A tin.
I had to have a scope done at the hospital.
Dummies in it.
The lady called me and she was like, all right. And I thought, you're going to have to, since you're having a scope, you're going to have to go to door number one. And so Kim and I were trying to find door number one. By the way, we saw it. Kim went right by it. We had to go all the way around. Door five. Door
you
four,
didn't give
door
me
three,
enough
door
time
two.
To get turned.
The blind. Here, there it is. The blind.
That's
exactly what it was.
Anyway, as we were driving by, I was like, look, it's door two. Those poor people getting the colonoscopies.
And we're getting to that age of those prostate exams are getting closer.
That's 50. Getting to that age, Josh.
No, you should have around 40s.
It's 40,
I thought
yeah.
it was 50.
No, I mean, I think it's 40.
I mean, you can't get it too early. Better late than never.
Yeah.
You sh- I mean, at our age now, you're almost mid-30s.
Are you going yearly now, Josh?
I check mine all the time, baby.
Josh is just going in. I'm here for my monthly.
If there's any abnormality, I'm like, oh, that don't feel right. Is that a growth? Well, I'm real self-conscious about it. When I go to, you know, have to go get mine, I feel like the doctor's going to be like, oh, someone's been busy. Which I hope they do.
Someone's popular.
Oh, who's a bottom?
So while Kim was in Tennessee, I went to New Smyrna Beach, which is just south of Daytona.
The shark bite capital of the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. And which is funny because, like, while people are all enjoying the beach and swimming in the ocean, there's always people fishing for sharks.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Right there on
crazy
the
crazy to me.
Stupid. They reel them on in.
Yeah, they're just funny to me. But anyway, so right near there, right down the road, is the National Shoreline. It's like a national park. Mm-hmm. And so I was reading up on it to figure out what all you could do there because I'm a huge person. I'm a huge person.
You can take your clothes
off. I know. I love national parks. So I was like, what all can you go do there and all this stuff? So I was reading the reviews and all this stuff on what all people to go there to do. And I learned about the nude beach there.
Yeah.
And
there's a nude beach.
Yeah, at the National Shoreline.
I hanky-pankied there.
So listen to this.
When we all went down there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know.
So, I'm reading through the reviews of the National Shoreline. Mind you, again, it's like a national park, just a national shoreline. So, there's like four. I think I read that there was like five different parking lots when you go in.
Yeah.
And there's beaches on each parking lot. Mm-hmm. So, these reviews started out like, had a great time at the National Shoreline, beautiful beaches. My family and I went there, parked, had a beautiful time at the beach. But then every once in a while, you'd find a review that'd be like, you know, the first beach we got to at the parking lot was full, decided, let's continue driving.
That's exactly what I did.
Carload of our family, grandma, grandpa, the kids, you know, van full of us. Go to the second parking lot, full of people. Let's continue. Third parking lot, full of people. And then they're like, in all caps, warning, parking lot four. I think it's parking lot four.
It is.
Parking lot four. As we turn the corner into parking lot four, one of the young girls in the back go, Mommy, what's that? And we realize parking lot four is a nude beach.
It sure is.
They're like, we felt like we had received no warning. They're like, why does, like, when you check in.
Is there no signs or anything?
There are, as you're walking down, you know, caution, nude beachers or, you know, nude patrons or
whatever. Yeah, but these reviews had talked about, like, people were getting out of their cars, I guess, and stuff. And so you'd find them up in the parking lot.
That's where I spent most of my time when we went because the regular beach by our condo was so busy. And then we went to there and we drove all the way to the end of it. It's like you go to the end and turn around, takes you right back out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to the end, to the fourth beach. And I was like, oh, there's no cars in the parking lot. This is my type of beach. So we went and I swam for a little bit, and then that's where I was like, oh, I'm the only thing in the water right now. So if there's like a shark, it's going to get me. So we got out and then we went back the next day to sunbathe. And I was with my boyfriend at the time and no one was there. So we had us a little beach party right under the dock.
Under the dock. But can you imagine like going there with your family and not realizing that's a nude beach? And then, that's oh, look, funny. There's a tallywacker, as our grandma would say.
When we got finished, or when we finished, the only other people that came was this old man, like 80s plus, just skin looked like a tan couch leather, and he had two young gorgeous women with him. I'm like, I want to go ask him how much money he has, because I know
sugar daddy.
Uh-huh. Bless those girls' hearts, because oh god, a lobster from the water would look more sexually appeasing than he did. Oh, bless them.
I always wanted a sugar daddy. Never found one.
It's not worth it. Maybe someday. It just, I've had one for a short amount of time, but I don't know, just, I don't like to be demanded. Like, I don't, when someone demands stuff mm-hmm. from me, that's when I'm like, well, you can shove that right up your own butt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The sugar ain't that sweet, baby. Get out of here.
So also on that national shoreline, they do those shuttle launches. And so I saw a few. And what I thought was really funny, I was so excited because one of those shuttle launches were going to shoot up people. The other one were just shooting up satellites. Mm-hmm. So I was on top of the condo I was staying at, like watching all of these shuttles being shut off. So cool. I filmed a few of them. And I downloaded the app so I could watch the shuttle launches. And I think there was like 2 or 3 hours before that shuttle launch. It was called the Starliner. And that was the one that had people. They were going to send the people up to the International Space Station. So excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to see my first shuttle with people on it. Well, I get this notification. Shuttle has been postponed. And I thought, oh my God, it's been postponed for 2 days. Well, that shuttle, which the shuttle was also like part of the whole shuttle program is also being ran by Space Force. I just thought that was a little fun fact that
Space
I thought,
Force.
Yeah, that we all should know. But the whole shuttle problem, so I learned this, they were strapping these humans into the shuttle, right? And just imagine, like, you're telling your family goodbye, I'm going to be gone for a while, I'm going to space, you know, your family. Like, can you imagine, like, the stress, your family, like, the worry? Mm. Like, oh my God, what if something happens? I'm not going to see them for a while. And just the anxiety that you'd have, like, in your space suits, and they're strapping you in, you know, you have 2 hours to go before you get launched. And then all of a sudden, they're like, tap you on the shoulder, and they say, hey, yeah, sorry, there's something wrong with a valve. We're going to have to postpone. There's a valve problem.
The hell we are.
Well,
that's what happened to the space shuttle.
Spaceship Challenger.
Well, then, to make things a little more weird, the Starliner is made by Boeing.
Oh, I wasn't getting that.
That's what I thought.
Them bolts are loose. The door's going to come off.
And so they delayed it for 2 days. And I thought, okay, I'm still going to be here. I still going to watch it. 2 days later, they delayed it again. 1 week. And I thought, well, now I won't be able to watch it. Mm-hmm. And I just checked today before we got on here. And yesterday they announced that it's delayed and they don't even have a date.
Wow.
Because they just can't figure out how to fix all these problems that it's having. And they're so far behind. They spent a ton of money on this thing, way over budget. Mm-hmm. They're way behind on getting it up into space.
That's our taxpayer dollars going to good work.
Boeing.
I wouldn't buy a toothpick from Boeing at this point.
My ex-brother-in-law actually worked for that space center for a while when he lived there. And he worked for Lockheed Martin, and he actually started working for them when they lived in the Keys. And then when they moved up a little farther, then he worked at Cape Canaveral for a while. And I always, always wanted to see a space shuttle go up. We were down there one time and they launched a rocket, but nobody knew. So we couldn't, and it was like it was probably 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. It had just gotten daylight and we were wakened up by it, you know, the sound of it and stuff. We didn't know what had happened until he had come home from work. And they're like, he's like, well, they, you know, lit a thing up today. And so I was never able, we were never there at the time to watch the space shuttle go up. And the year that my ex-husband and I split, his sister-in-law that was married to his brother that had passed away, she lived in Florida. And after him and I split up, her and her husband had me and the girls come down to get away for a little bit, you know, so I could try to heal from our split. And when I found out when we were going down, they had a space shuttle launch. They were going to have one. So I prayed for 2 months hoping that it actually got to go up and I could actually see it. So the girls and I actually seen the very last space shuttle go up.
Ooh. Oh, that's cool.
It was very cool. Speaking
of space, that brings us on to my little fun fact.
Uh-oh.
I'm glad you brought up space.
We are so good at bringing up stuff that we don't even know about.
I'm going to have to start charging psychic prices. Come to me to read, tell your future. Well, you know, when planets were discovered at one point, before that, nobody knew about them. Well, when the rings of Saturn were first discovered, guess what the Vatican made people believe that they were? It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. They convinced people, the Vatican, that the rings of Saturn were the foreskin cut from Jesus Christ.
Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous.
And people believed it. They were like, oh, well, what could those rings possibly be? Couldn't be space dust, you know, accumulating with gravity, which is what I believe they are. They're like, no, that's Jesus's foreskin.
And huge foreskin.
Yeah. I'm like, Jesus can have my number.
And how did it get up there? Did
a huge list. Well, I kind of delved into the thing.
In a rabbit hole?
There are other myths that the Vatican has put out in the past about the foreskin of Jesus. Never thought about it a day in my life. I guess Baptists, we don't talk about foreskin of Jesus, but they believe Jesus was circumcised. And there is a debate whether or not. It's so ridiculous. You know, when Jesus allegedly died and then he ascended to heaven, there's argument on if his foreskin that was cut off at birth ascended to heaven with him. So I'm thinking, I'm like, so someone out there is fully believing and trying to convince others that, you know, when Jesus ascended up to heaven, somewhere out in the desert, wherever it was buried at, his little foreskin was going up with him. I thought that was the funniest thing.
And got stuck on Saturn.
Yeah, and got stuck on Saturn, stretched into this big, huge, bada-bing, bada-boom. That's how you get the rings of Saturn. The foreskin of Jesus.
It's amazing what people will believe.
Yeah.
Amazing what people will believe.
What could these rings possibly be? Well, we have to, must be foreskin. I mean, no other. So now anytime I see a picture of Saturn's rings, I just feel like that's the biggest dick I've ever seen. Bless him. Speaking
of
dicks, I have one more joke that I have for us. Two men broke into a drugstore and stole all the Viagra. The police put out an alert to be on the lookout for two hardened criminals.
Oh my God.
By the way, I forgot to tell you guys.
Lord help us.
We got postcards.
Oh, good.
I'll give them to Shane so that.
Reach. The scars
I've had a hold of those ever since before I went to Tennessee. I've had them for about 3 weeks now.
You're right. The only 10 I see, baby.
Mm-hmm. So the first one says, fun fact, it takes 40 gallons of
semen.
Something to make 1 gallon of maple sap.
Sap.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the postcard is the Profile House, Franconia Notch. I don't know. It's hard to see it.
Just like, give it to me.
Franconia Notch. In the White Mountains, New Hampshire.
You want to go ahead and read it?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Mr. Ink. Greetings from the north. Found this little number at an antique shop in NH, New Hampshire, I'm guessing. They also had little porcelain thimbles, which were a thing of Kim. No spoons, though. Mm. Love, Megan V. She drew a moose and a squirrel and a bird and a bear. That's cute little drawings. I love your bear. It's got little gay hands. Like, girl! Cute little moose, too. That's good drawing. Funny. That's an adorable little squirrel. This place looks haunted, though. I'd stay there. I like it.
Mm-hmm. So it's really cool.
This is an antique postcard. I've never seen an antique postcard. And you used a bonsai maple stamp. I love bonsai. I'd do it if I was patient enough.
All right, so our next postcard is from MT on Patreon, and it's from Mount St. Helens, which I drove by when I was out west. I didn't stop there, but I saw the sign for the exit.
Is that the volcano?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that erupted. And the postcard says, everyone knows about the eruption, but the legends of what happened here are interesting. And they send us a link, so we'll have to check out the link.
I almost kept that card because I was going to check it out.
Yeah, we'll have to check it out and see what the links are, because there's two links. Also fascinating are Native American legends of how Mount St. Helens became to be who she is today. Ooh. Here's a link. So we'll have to check out those links.
Yeah, I almost kept the postcard and checked the links out so that I could do something on it. And then I'm like, I'll just give them the postcard and we can all check them out.
Goat rocks. I'd love to go climb that.
And then our friend and Patreon, Rick, sent us a postcard from Uranus.
Hey, a fudge factory.
Yeah, from Oklahoma City.
I love Uranus's fudge.
Yeah, this one, he must have picked it up in Missouri.
Missouri.
Yeah, that's where the other one's at.
But the postcard is stamped Oklahoma City. Hey, gang, love the podcast. Keep up the interesting content from the bunker. Can't wait for CrimeCon. Rick's going to meet us at CrimeCon.
Is he?
Yay.
I'm so excited that we're going to get to meet somebody that loves us as much as we do.
Rick?
His name's Rick.
Okay. Well, we had a new Patreon join us.
Rick was our very first patron.
Okay. Well, I have the postcard for him. I need to mail on my way home, but I did a little social media search of him, and he is a good-looking man.
Beard, oh, my God.
Beard, tattoos, tattooed arms. Who,
the one that you're sending to?
Yeah. I almost put my personal number on there. But it said he was in a relationship. I was like, damn.
Good try.
I was like,
we did have some new reviews, too, and I don't think I had you.
And Kim is irresponsible.
I'll have
Kim.
To
maybe our next see, episode.
Well, I'll have to see if I can find him, and then I'll put him in.
Have you guys
the next episode
heard about the portal in New York City that connects New York City to Dublin, Ireland?
Yes, I've seen that.
It's offline already.
Really?
There was within the week that they turned it on. People can't be trusted with nice things.
Abusing it.
Yeah. If you don't know, it's the new portal connecting Dublin and New York City, which live feeds one another. It's, you can't actually travel through it. Well, the first week it was open, one drunk woman grinded on it for 20 minutes in Ireland, to which New Yorkers returned fire by constantly mooning them a lot. Then in retaliation, a man in Dublin showed videos of 9/11 to New Yorkers
on repeat.
So now it's
what
it's,
is wrong it's with off. People?
I'm like, we can't have nice things.
What is wrong with people? I seen it on the news, and there was all these people just standing around and looking at it. You know, everybody was waving, and I thought that is the coolest thing ever.
Like,
and then
the
you have flipping idiots like that.
And then people started mooning and grinding and first 9/11
first
videos.
Day, everyone's like, oh my God, Hive. By day two, 9/11 video,
right?
Mooning.
That's awful.
Boobies.
Such a cool idea.
I'm not going to lie. I'd probably do it because, how else am I going to find an Irish man of my dreams? I'm going to go show a little titty on the portal.
Right.
Come get it.
All right. So leading up to Kim's topic for this episode, Kim and I went on a little adventure for our two episodes. And so we just wanted to lead into it by talking about what led us to this adventure. So before we got to where we went for our topic, we first stopped at our favorite pizza joint, or our regular pizza joint, which is a Pizza King that's in Farmland. And then we went to Dayton, Ohio, to Woodland Cemetery. And if you've never been to Woodland Cemetery, and if you've never been to Dayton, Ohio, they're really cool places. Woodland Cemetery, really, really cool. It's a huge cemetery. It's pretty old, very old. I mean, old for the United States, not old if you're in Europe or something like that. We'll talk about what it was like on my episode to be there.
Is that that video where you pretended you were a hooker going up to Kim and like,
$50,
$20? For a moment, I thought, sweater?
A hooker?
What video are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Crochet.
Yeah, if you're on Patreon.
I mean a sex worker. Hooker's outdated.
If you're on Patreon, that's where we were. We had just walked up to the Wright Brothers gravesite at Woodland, and I walked up pretending like I was a sex worker. Yeah.
Trying to get me to give him $20.
Yeah. So the Wright brothers are buried there, and we'll get into other people who are buried there in my mystery for the next episode. But Josh, I wanted to tell you, when we left that cemetery, we were there for a very long time.
It's a huge cemetery.
We left that cemetery while Kim wanted to go to a gas station.
And a potty.
Yeah, of course.
No, I needed a drink.
And a potty.
Uh-huh. And
maybe I did need to potty too. I don't remember.
She had to go to the bathroom.
You ain't passing her, a bathroom.
I know I needed a drink really bad.
So we pull into this gas station. And my first rule that I said when she's like, I'm going to stop at a gas station, I said, please don't make it a hood.
It has to be a name brand gas station for me to pull into it.
And I have two rules for gas stations. One, don't have it by a Rally's.
No.
Don't have a Rally's nearby. Because if you don't know.
Why?
If you don't know this rule.
No.
If there's a Rally's nearby you, you're in the hood.
Yeah. Rally's and White Castles are predominantly put in lower income.
Yeah. You're likely to get shot.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Rally's. And if you ever see a Rally's, get out.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a baby child is born in a ghetto. Yeah.
In fact,
do you like Rally's?
I just went there yesterday.
Did you?
If you want to find a really good gas station, and if you see a Rally's, this is how you find the best gas station. This is a little thing between me and you. I'm trying to think of the name of the place real quick. It's a bookstore. What's the name of that bookstore?
Books a Million?
Nope.
Barnes and Noble.
Yeah. So if you're ever at a Rally's and you have to go to the bathroom or you need to go to a gas station, but you know that you're in like a shady area, just say, hey, Siri, or whatever navigation thing you use.
Turn mine on.
Right. Take me to the nearest Barnes & Noble, because they're never in a bad neighborhood. They're always in the upscale neighborhood. And those gas stations are the gas stations that always have all of the hand wash. They wipe down the toilets. You know what I'm talking about? Like the bathrooms are nice bathrooms. They have the tile in the bathrooms.
The best places to go, the best gas stations to go to the bathroom is, number one, Bucky's. Bucky's bathrooms are freaking amazing.
Now, see, I like that they started putting Tesla chargers at Bucky's, because when I first, have you been to
did
Bucky's?
They?
No. I've been to, what's
oh, yeah,
that
we
one
did we yeah. do that one.
Sheets.
Sheets, yeah.
Bucky's are the huge ones. It's like a big Walmart, but it's a gas station.
I've seen, like, people go crazy. I'm like,
they
it's
do.
A gas
it's really
station.
Cool.
When I first went to one, I thought this is going to be trashy. I'm not going to like it. Too many people. I don't want to go. But then when I first went, I thought that when I went in, but then I went to the bathroom and I thought, this is nice. First off, the stalls are fully enclosed. There's hand sanitizer in each stall. It's really clean. They go in and clean it all the time. It's really nice. The coffee stations are really nice. There's all the food that you can want. So I really like them now. So like if I have to charge at gas stations, I want it to be at Bucky's just because of how clean they are.
And then the next one is Casey's.
I'm not done with Bucky's. Hold on. But if I swear, like, we just need to change the name of the podcast. People can't wash the damn hands, because I just want a bullhorn, because bullhorn is the thing that you talk into, right? Because I swear to God, every time I go to any place, and Bucky's is like, there's so many people first off, so I notice it more often.
He's got shitty hands. He's doesn't wash.
I watch people go in the bathroom and walk straight out. And every time I think, who are you here with? Does your wife know that you do not wash your damn hands?
And they're going out and going up grabbing to the coffee,
on all the
going
things.
Getting soda.
Yeah, just walk right. I mean, I just saw you touch your willy whacker, pull up your pants, and walk right on out.
Or heaven
here.
Forbid they poo and wipe and walk out without washing.
Yeah. And let me tell you, hand sanitizer, not the same.
No.
Wash your hands. We just went through a whole pandemic because people don't know how to wash their damn hands.
That's why I don't.
I always wash my hands.
Anytime someone's like, here, look at something on my phone, I will not take it from them, because our phones are one of the dirtiest. Yeah. Like, most people's have fecal matter I'm like, are people not washing their phones with an alcohol wipe at least once a week?
I think Discovery should give us a show where we go into a Buc-ee's.
Shame people for not washing their hands.
And we like walk out and we're like, whose man is this? Whose man? Man? Do you know your husband doesn't wash his hands?
He'll be like to catch a predator, but for washing hands.
Yeah.
We're chasing him out. Excuse me, sir. Did you know he was 15 and didn't wash his hands?
It's like America's Most Wanted. We're just going to have him flash through the screen on TV at night.
And this man is a nasty.
You know, on ABC, is it ABC? What's that TV show that they broadcast it every night? And I swear to God, it's like one of the only news channels I like to watch. But as soon as it comes on, it's like breaking news tonight.
Oh, the nightly news.
Yeah, the nightly news. It's one of the only news channels I like to watch at night to get the news.
Lester Holt.
Yeah.
I love Lester Holt.
But the problem with it is just every freaking time it starts, breaking news tonight, breaking right now. I'm like, God dang, would you stop it with this immediate need of breaking right now as we come on the air?
Well, news stations, there's so many of them. They have to, do something to watch our news station, not one of the other thousands.
That's exactly it. And I hate that part. And also, if you ever pay attention to that show, I swear it's like 20 minutes long, but like it's really 2 minutes. The rest of it's ads. At some point, he will come back on the air to tell you, tonight we are going to talk about this, this, and this, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Right, and we'll be right back.
I'm like, you just got on the air for 30 seconds to tell us what we're going to see when we come back from ads.
Or they'll tell you, like, when you're sitting there eating dinner, tonight at 8, could peas be killing your family? And you're sitting there with a spoonful of peas.
Like, yeah. But anyway, so Kim wants to stop at the gas station. I'm honest.
Good God.
Talk about in left field. We just went way out in left field.
I told Cam, don't go in the hood, and she went in the hood. We were not in a very good neighborhood.
The hood is
Josh.
No good, Cam. The hood is no good.
So we pull up to this gas station, and there was a sign on the building. Okay. And mind you, I don't go to gas stations anymore unless they have chargers at some now.
Right.
But there's a sign on the building that says no extra charge for using your credit card. And that's like when you know that it's not a above board place.
And I'm oblivious. I have to go to the bathroom. I'm going in here and I'm going to the bathroom. I don't care where it's at.
I wish I had your level of non-anxiety.
It looked dirty on the outside too.
Remember that old gas station?
Would you hush? We're trying to get off track.
Oh,
we have been off track already one time. Hush.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know whose mystery
Keep
this
it
episode.
It's Kim's. Hush, Kim. Anyway, we go inside. We go to the bathroom, right? In my bathroom stall, there's a sign. This is the sign. Hi, everyone. This is how I imagine it. Hi, everyone. Use restroom for toilets. Don't do other things. Don't throw paper towels in toilets. It gets clogged. Please use trash can. Thank you. Now, what are the other things they're doing? I'm thinking drugs.
Probably.
Or masturbation.
They may be
everything.
Maybe hooking up in there.
The amount of times men have asked me to do some gross stuff in bathrooms, I'm like, ew. Ew.
I didn't even think about that.
No, so like all the time.
How could you not think about that?
It was a nasty bathroom.
That's why I don't go to...
I didn't want to pee in there.
I mean, I think more gay intercourse happens in rest stop bathrooms with the truckers than actual using the bathroom. That's why I don't like to go to rest stop bathrooms.
This is one of those bathrooms where I did not want to touch the toilet seat. Because it was clean.
You do a little hover.
No, I I had a pee. So I like grabbed some toilet paper and I'm like.
Use your foot.
No, I'm not touching it with my foot. I just grabbed the toilet paper and I used the toilet paper to pull it up. Ugh. And then it's like one of those situations where you're trying not to touch stuff. And I felt like, ugh. Anyway,
even to wash your hands, you feel dirty after. You're like, now how do I get out without touching the door?
When I was a kid, any bathroom we went into didn't make a difference if it was clean or not. My grandma always took toilet paper out and lined the seat. I mean, they have liners now for the seats, but she would take toilet paper and line the seats before I was ever allowed to go to the bathroom.
Don't want crabs.
Well, then we go out and I wanted some water for the road. Now, this gas station's so trashy, Josh. First off, in the fridge section, the water they have, no spring water. Trash. Like, I hate
Aquafina.
Purified water. Yeah.
Or the store Dasani. Brand.
First off, all they have was Dasani water. Ugh. In fact,
it's definitely not my favorite.
In fact, all they had of water was Dasani.
I'd rather go thirsty.
And it was just on a one level in the fridge. Dasani. And it looked like it had been there for a long time. People are not buying water at this.
Not Dasani.
No. People aren't buying water there. They're just going in there for soda, evidently. Oh, yeah. I thought, oh my God, they have Dasani. That's it. So I had to buy Dasani.
Gross.
I know. It was absolutely awful. No spring water. Ugh.
First world problems.
So I grabbed it. And then I need to charge my phone because I forgot to bring a charger with me. And so I finally found up by the register that they have chargers up there, but they're locked. Like they're locked in this contraption. Of course. So I was like, excuse me, can I get one of these unlocked? The man behind the counter hands me the keys to the building.
It's yours now.
No, and I'm not kidding you. Hands me the keys. Now, there's probably
like a janitor key ring
on this key ring. I mean, this big pocket of just keys.
Here.
He's like, here, I think it's this one. Hands it to me. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I wish I didn't just touch this.
I don't want it anymore.
Well, I felt like I needed it because my phone was about to die and I have to have my phone to get to my car to start it too. So I thought, oh my God, okay, thank you. So I go over there and that was not the right key. So I was like, oh my God. And it's like when you get the anxiety sweats.
Oh yeah.
I thought, oh my God, I'm going to start going through the line of keys. So I was like, well, that's not it. That's not it.
These keys have probably been flushed out in the toilet. Like, God knows. Yeah.
So eventually I finally found the right key and I got the key and I got the get out to the car. By the time we get back to Kim's house, Josh, I went to roll that thing back up. I look over at Kim and I said, I'm going to go ahead and keep this in your car. That way I have a phone charger. So I'm going to wrap this up and put it in your glove box. And she said, okay. So open up her glove box and I was going to lay that right there. And right there where I was going to lay that was where I laid the last one that I had purchased.
Oh, Jesus. So you had one right there.
It looked the exact same size.
Bless him, Lord.
Same everything.
He's like, why did you tell me I had one in there? I'm like, I don't use that glove box. I have a center console. Everything I need is in the center console.
Yeah, right.
I don't get into that glove box. I had no idea
my
it was in there.
My glove box is a vanity. I've got like spare colognes and deodorants and stuff, which was fine until I got pulled over and I had to explain to the cop. I was like, I actually have to get my stuff out of the trunk because this has makeup and other stuff in it. Yeah. It was like a week after I did it too because I was like, you know, I've never been pulled over.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to use this glove box for stuff I actually use. I'll just put this stuff in my trunk. Within the same week, I got pulled over because my headlight went out.
All right. So then after we ended up going there, we had saw the Wright brothers buried at the cemetery. And we know, and have you ever been to the birthplace out by where we grew up?
I went to a wedding there.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
There was a wedding there?
Yeah, it was like outside. Like we weren't allowed in the house or anything.
Oh, that's right. There was.
It's where I first had champagne.
Oh, nice.
So also where I first got drunk on champagne and realized that's my favorite way to get drunk.
So I had never been there, but
I had never been there either.
Yeah. So out by where we all lived, and not far, too far from where Kim currently lives, was where the oldest Wright brother was born and grew up, right?
He's not the oldest.
Oh, no. I mean, of the two Wright brothers.
Yes, of the two, yes.
Yeah.
Of the famous ones.
Yeah. Yes.
There was a third?
No, there was five or six altogether.
Yeah, there were a few. In fact, one of them was born in Grant County, which is for Marion.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. So they had lived there for a while before they moved to that house, which I thought was really interesting. But we get out there, And first off, it was really kind of, you know, we know where it was, but we kind of took a backward way to get to it.
Yeah.
And there's a sign that leads you all the way to the house. And we get to near the road and the sign stopped. So we passed the road.
The road was Orville Wright Road,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, well, there was no sign that said to turn. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's just a road right before you get to it. So I just kept going.
It's a long road.
And
it is.
Yeah, we ended up going down and turning it around because we didn't turn it onto that road. Yeah,
I've hanky-pankied on that road before.
So we ended up getting
there. Is there a place that you've not?
No, not really. Right.
We ended up getting there, and there's no one there. There was one other car. And so as you pull up, it's out in the middle of nowhere. Out in the countryside, not far from Muncie, Newcastle, Indiana area. Mm-hmm. And there's a small little building. There's a old home there. There's a little museum there.
I found out some interesting things about that house. That house is not original.
We knew that. Well, they had rebuilt it.
Right. Yeah. They had sold it to somebody, like the state or somebody, and they had rented it out, and for many years it was rented out, and then it ended up getting so run down that they ended up just tearing it down, and then they ended up selling it to another place, and they decided that the house needed to be back, so they built a replica of it, and it's owned by the community now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting because everybody that works there are volunteers. Nobody gets paid for working there. It's all volunteer-based. Mm. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
So we ended up walking into the Welcome Center, which is a really small building, and there was just one lady working there. And it's funny because as soon as we walked in, the lady was just like, all right, it's going to be this amount of dollars. It kind of wasn't like a welcome to the birthplace or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
This ain't free.
It's like, it's going to be this amount of dollars.
They probably get people like, you know, walking in like, you have to pay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we paid. And then it was so funny because we look over and it was a nice day out, but it's kind of windy. And we couldn't tell if there was leaves blowing out the back door. And then we realized that it was a bunch of bees. But it was like almost like end of the world bees.
Yeah, like it was really weird. Those
murder hornets.
Like almost, it almost looked like hundreds of bees.
What was the name of that movie that, I think it was, that it had the swarm of, I think, was it cicadas that was in a movie?
I hope not. There's two giant blooms of them this year. It only happens like once every 200 years that two different broods of cicadas emerge at the same time. Which also means an increase in copperhead snakes because they eat them.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the bees fled.
Yeah.
I don't know where they went, but it was just very bizarre that like there were hundreds of bees that suddenly flocked the same place that we needed to go for this stinking tour. So we ended up paying for the tour. We walk out, and there was a really old plane there. Was it 1951 or 1952?
I think it was military 52. Plane. Yeah, yeah, I think it was might have been 52.
Which is really cool to see, you know, that the Wright brothers, because of their invention, led to a plane like this. You know, that was cool to see. They also had a memorial to the Wright brother that was born there. So that was cool to see. And then, of course, the house was there, the replica of the house that he was born in and lived there for so long. So Kim and I were able to walk around the home and see what it would have been like for him to live there. They have, you know, a replica of everything. And they also have
really cool
things in the home that are period from the time that he would have lived there. That was all cool to see, like this, the style of furniture. Mm-hmm. Everything was so tiny, low to the ground. I mean,
when you went to that other building that had memorabilia and stuff in it, some of the pieces that was actually in that, they had like auctioned off all their stuff or whatever. And the people that had bought it, once they started to redo this, gave it back to them. So some of those pieces that were in that one building were authentic. They were things that really belonged to them.
Yeah, in the actual museum part.
And I was really surprised at how many siblings that they had.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of them. They had two sons, and then they had a set of twins that passed away. And then
you imagine
their names was Otis and, oh, why did I put the one name twice instead of doing both of them?
That's the
twins. Anyways, it was twins and they actually had passed away. And then, of course, the two famous ones. And then they had a sister, too. Mm-hmm. And she had passed away.
Can you imagine being the sibling of a Wright brother? Talk about, you know, mm-hmm. never being, I just assumed their parents had just them. Like,
yeah, I never thought about them having siblings. But yeah, there was like six or seven of them all together. And some of them didn't make it to adulthood.
Yeah. I got a book about their sister. I guess their sister helped them.
Yes, she did.
With their inventions and with their businesses. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So I'd like to
learn. Yeah. She was a woman. Until, she didn't get no credit.
Right.
Yeah, she done a lot of business stuff for them. And then she met and married a man. And they did not approve of this man. And because she had moved away and she didn't do anything. So they didn't even talk to her for a period of time until one of them was on their deathbed and they sent for her.
What a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're not helping us anymore. Dead to us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
In the basement type thing of the museum, they had a replica of a little town, old Western town or whatever. Ooh. And it was really cute. Really
they had cute. A replica of the Wright Brothers bike store mm-hmm. and print shop, which is what they had, you know, before they invented the airplane, which was really cool to see.
Right.
Neat.
Yeah, it was a very cool place. I enjoyed it a lot. And I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know about mm-hmm. them.
They also had a sign-in sheet for the home. Mm-hmm. And when people would come to visit the house, they would sign in and... When the older brother died, the younger brother came out to visit along with his sister and with his wife, and they came out to visit. And so they have the book open to the page of where the brother came to visit Aww. And signed in. So I thought that was really cute. I think it was 2 years before he died.
Yeah, it was a couple years.
Yeah, they had a really good video also that you could watch at
yes,
the museum.
Yes, the video
was
good. Very good. Yeah. Very good, very informative too. And I can't remember which one of them. One of them actually was able, well, it had to have been the one that lasted the longest. He actually was able to fly in like a more commercial type.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually lived long enough to, you know, see World War One, World War Two.
Yeah.
So during World War Two, you know, airplanes were used to fight in the war.
Right.
So he actually lived long enough to see that.
See his invention kill people.
Yeah. Mm. So I.
Yeah. Can you imagine the feeling that you would have just knowing that all the people that your invention killed?
It's like the guy that invented, I believe it was the atomic bomb. What's that famous quote? I am death, the destroyer of worlds. Because he never, you know, imagined that his invention would be used to that degree to kill that many people. I think it was after Hiroshima. Where he was like, I am literally death, the destroyer of worlds. My invention is going to change history.
Right.
It'd be tough to take. That's why I don't invent nothing.
No. Right.
It's the only thing stopping me. You know, Shane, when you go, I will go visit your museum. And I'll make sure to sign a little
We're all going to have one with Mystery Inc. We're all going to have a big museum.
We'll have little sections for each podcast.
Right.
We'll have little off wax figures where they almost resemble us, almost.
Maybe you should make your own so that it looks most like you.
Josh would look nothing like him.
Mine will just be me on all fours. Put a quarter in the mouth, see what happens.
There was 7 siblings, 5 boys and 2 girls.
That Damn. Sounds right, yeah. I knew there was a lot.
All before epidurals. Ooh, bless.
I know.
Bless.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I also read there that when Neil Armstrong had gone up to the moon, that they had brought a piece of the plane, the first flight plane from the Wright brothers with him. So that was pretty cool.
It's a really cool place. If you're ever close to, it's just right outside of Moreland, Indiana.
Yeah.
Ever close, go see it because it's definitely worth the...
Yeah.
It didn't cost a whole lot to get in. Wasn't it like $8 or something?
Yeah.
It's one of those we grew up around it, so we just always saw it, but I never really actually
I never went there
besides that. I mean, the wedding was just like, you could see the house, but couldn't go inside of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it was cool for us too, because the day before we had been to where they're buried.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cool to know where they had been and
full circle.
To see what all they had done.
That's what we thought too. And I really kind of, we're going to have to go back to Dayton because I know the younger brother was born in Dayton, and I know they have something there for him too.
Well, you saw the planes at that museum that they, I mean, that one was humongous and they built.
They had a replica at the one in
they have one at their museum too. Yeah, they have one in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, and I have a story about that too, but that was going to be, that's going to be unmasked.
Oh, good.
I do have a story about the one that's in the Smithsonian.
Ooh. They were brave, braver than me, because they got in those, just strapped in and hoped for the best. Hell no.
You know, so you had made a comment about you couldn't imagine them always doing that with a suit on. There was a reason for that. Catherine, their sister, always told them, if you're going to be photographed, you need to be in a suit. Mm. So they were always knew that at some point they would probably become famous of it, and they wanted all of the pictures of them doing the attempts and stuff to be in suits so that, Catherine was the one that actually made them do that. I thought that was interesting.
What I also liked is, or what I also found very interesting from watching the video at that museum was I didn't realize that they were the first two people to become like celebrities of the early 1900s.
Oh.
Yeah, they were the most famous people of that era.
Huh.
Interesting.
The very first people to become famous in the early 1900s.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, they were international celebrities. They were all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it takes just doing something stupid on the gram Internet. Or something and go viral.
Yeah.
All right. You guys ready for my waggy?
Yeah. Yes.
I can't remember this, so I'm probably going to laugh really hard because this has been 3 weeks ago.
You would too, even if you remember.
Yeah, probably.
You'll laugh again when we edit.
Probably. Two robbers were attempting to crack open an ATM using a blowtorch. After their successful meltdown of the frame, the criminals were only inches away from payout of their life. However, those sloppy robbers accidentally lit the money on fire. With no water or fire extinguisher nearby, the thieves decided to pee on the money.
Oh my God.
In the last-ditch effort to save the money. When that failed, they fled the scene, leaving behind $35,000 worth of pee-soaked ash.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Takes all kinds of kinds.
Ruh-roh, Reggie.
All kinds of kinds. That's also how you know you're in the hood, the ghetto. When you go to an ATM and it's chained to like like a metal post or something. If there's a chain on the ATM, I'm like, no.
I ain't stopping at that
it's
one. You don't
steal
know.
My identity.
Let's see. At the scene of many crimes, it is common for the criminal to accidentally leave behind evidence that proves clues on who may have done it. These items are usually fingerprints, hair, gloves, or something otherwise insignificant.
Semen.
However, that's not the case for Zachary, who was stealing $40 from a woman in Boston. As he was making an escape, he left behind bags containing a letter to his mother and his birth certificate. Yeah. So they knew exactly who it was. Why would you still steal somebody's bag and then leave yours behind that's got all of your information in it?
That hurt my brain. My God.
All right, everybody. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. We finally have our 15 new people, so we'll be coming up with that stuff real soon. I'm sure we'll talk about it when we're in the car for 10 hours on the way to and from Nashville. Come visit us on MrInc.com where you can find all of our episodes. You can
Do you say
merch.
It's Mr. Inc?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Mr.
I
Inc.
thought you said Mr. Inc for some reason.
No, I think I said it's Mr. Inc.
Good.
So you can find all that stuff there, get all of our merch and that kind of stuff. Don't forget to mark your calendars July 12th through the 14th because we're headed to the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival in Denver, Colorado. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
So we do also have, if you use Mystery 15 when you go get tickets, you can save 15%.
Mm-hmm.
Come see us.
There we go.
Tell them we sent you.
That's right.
And if right. My eyes are squinty, mind your business.
I ain't guaranteeing you mine won't be either.
Hey, man, what's going on? if I'm real calm there, you'll know why.
Keep our social anxiety at bay.
It does.
All right. I guess we'll talk to you all later.
Yeah, let's do lunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.